This is a very, very unique message, but we're a very, very unique church, amen. We're called to extract mysteries, walk in them. This journey has been so amazing. God's given us, we're getting into manifestation, demonstration now. We're getting into the materialization of the word we carry. But I just, when he said something about, I had a message of Kings, the Lord said, I want you to preach this. And I said, all right, I'm going to do this. Go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to talk to you about the throne of David, the journey of this throne. I'm not going to be able to get into all of it tonight, but I want to get into some of the old, some of the new. The promises, what God did when he promised Christ that he would sit on David's throne. He never sat on David's throne in the earth. But he is sitting on David's throne right now. What happened? Why did he do that? How did he do that? Why did he do it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Matter of fact, go to Isaiah 9. Let's start there. Amen. I feel the anointing in here tonight. I feel the glory. I see a crown. Oh, I hear the Spirit of the Lord said, we're so close to the crowning. The crowning. The crown is going to change all things. The crown. Well, maybe when I was prophesying to them, when he swore to Abraham, he looked into Abraham's loins and he said, to myself, I swear that a seed's coming down through your loins, and I swear that in blessing I'll bless thee, and in multiplying I'll multiply thee. And Galatians said that seed was Christ. He said in seeds of many, but as one, that seed was Christ. And he said, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. You were in the presence of that swearing that day. Everything that Christ is in you, to you, and through you was in the presence of that swearing. He was swearing it to you. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things God did with the Lord, but look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the kingdom, shall be upon his shoulder. And we found out a lot about the shoulder with the Revelations. We have a whole series on the Benjamin inheritance. He said he would dwell, Benjamin, son of the right hand, Benjamin, and he would dwell in the shoulders of God. That's where the governmental operations are. That's where the kingly anointing is. Benjamin had rights. He said he would dwell in the shoulders. The government's upon the shoulders. Say the shoulders. Woo! And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at verse 7. Of the increase, say the increase, of his government or kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. Say no end. No end. Now notice this verse, part of this verse. And upon the throne of David, upon the throne of David, and they wanted to make Jesus a king. They knew the Redeemer was coming and was going to sit on David's throne, but they weren't looking at it the way God was looking at it. They wanted to make him a king. They wanted to enthrone him right there and make him a king and deliver them from Roman rule and authority. That's what they wanted. They thought it would be a natural kingdom like David because of these verses. And he goes, upon the kingdom, upon the throne of David, I'm going to do this. And upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. So he gives this prophecy, you're going to sit, I'm going to bring a king, and the increase of this kingdom and government, there'll be no end, and upon the throne of David, all this will happen. And they were looking for all that in the natural. Go over to Acts really quick. Acts 2. No, go to Luke. I just got all this, so bear with me. I didn't have time to process it. I'm like, usually he lets me just process it all, but he said, just spoke to me and just says, throw it out there. Praise God. So just throw the meat out there. Amen. So Luke 1, this is amazing because all this is about to culminate. God did some miraculous things. I'll have to get into exhortation mode here in a minute to get this in. Luke 1 and verse 31, it says, and behold, thou, speaking to Mary here, says, you, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Now we're in New Testament. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Say, Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. I mean, she's getting the prophecy right there that he's going to sit on the throne of David. Could you imagine Mary hearing that? I mean, they're looking for this. He's of the tribe of Judah. This is the lion of the tribe. My son's about to sit on the throne of David. God's telling him this, but he never sat on that throne in the earth. Never. It was never, you ever thought about that? It was never an earthly throne he sat on. So why would God say you're going to sit on the throne today? Well, yeah, I know he's going to sit on it when he comes back. He's going to rule and reign out of Jerusalem, but he's sitting on that throne now. And as a son has been given. How did he do that? Why did he do that? Why did he take that throne into heaven itself? Because that's what he did. God took that throne out from the earth at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and he brought it into heaven. He said, I will set my king, on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Unto us a child's been born, a son has been given. Ask of me, son, now the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. He tells him this in Psalms 2 as a prophecy. It's fulfilled in Acts 13:33. God fulfills his prophecy that Christ was the one that was sitting on that throne. And he's prophesying that he's going to sit on the throne of David, but it was in his resurrection he would sit on it. Say his resurrection. Verse 33, Luke 1, he said, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Say, no end. This has already been initiated. This has already happened. Go to Acts chapter 2. Amen. So Acts chapter 2, 29, Peter, he's getting revelation of what's going on here. It says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Because he's telling them, he's going to differentiate between David, these prophecies of David and Christ. He says that he was both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, say sworn an oath, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Say, sit on his throne. God swore to David, I'm going to raise a Messiah and he's going to sit on your throne. They were all looking at this thinking it would be an earthly throne. But God had something much greater in mind. Amen. It was going to be an earthly throne brought to a heavenly throne back down into the earth. We'll get there. Not just in the millennial reign, but this little small time before the tribulation age, where the kings and priests will reign in the earth, God's going to bring that throne back down. Oh, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. So there will be a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he, the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He was telling David, I'm going to raise up the Messiah Christ. He's going to sit on your throne. Seeing this before, Acts 2 verse 31, spake of what? The resurrection of Christ. Specifically saying in Acts that he would take that throne in and with him in his resurrection, and God would take that throne out of the earth into the heavenlies, and he would sit there in a resurrected state. Isn't that awesome? Verse 34, and David, for this David is not ascended into heavens. It wasn't David that ascended. But he saith himself to the Lord, said unto the Lord, sit there on my right hand. Say, sit on my right hand. It was Christ that ascended, but not only did he ascend, he ascended into the heaven and he took that throne with him. God reassigned the throne of David, the throne of kings that was born in Mount Hebron itself. When the fire of Ziklag came and David's whole city had been burned, he was trying to build his whole life there. And listen, you try to build somewhere God didn't call you, sometime it'll burn down. Sometime fire is not so bad. Because David was trying to camp in the Philistine territory in Ziklag. David already made a league with the Philistines. He was quite content in Ziklag, and everything was burned down. He was actually going to go to war against Saul. And they said, no, you're not going with us. You'll turn against us in the battle. We're not letting you go. He had already made a league. Look how far he fought. He'd take Goliath down. Now he's in league with the very Philistines that he used to fight. And that city had burned to the ground. 3 days later, God crowned him in Mount Hebron. Crowned him, and he had 600 men. It's all he could accumulate. Listen, when the crown of Mount Hebron comes, in a day, it can do more than we could have ever done in 20 years. David is fleeing Saul 14 years, fleeing Saul, running in caves, then could never amass more than 600 men, and that was the worst of all men. The spies rejected, indebted, basically just empty the prisons and go follow David kind of people, you know. Pirates. All in good company, praise God. And God takes him into Mount Hebron, he crowns him, and then he brings 348,000 men that would not break rank. 3 days he brings him to 600 to 348,000. Yeah. I mean, I counted it. And it said these men would not break rank. That was the crown of Mount Hebron. That was that original mandate God had put on Abraham. That mandate when he swore, and he swore to him and multiply, and he buried Abraham in Mount Hebron. He buried his wife in Mount Hebron, and he buried Jacob, and he buried Isaac, and he buried their wives. All of that anointing was buried in that mountain. The inheritance was in that mountain. That's why when they come up out of Egypt, and they come up and he sent the spies, they went right down into Mount Hebron. Remember that? Remember that? And they pulled that fruit out of Mount Hebron. Took two men to carry a staff of grapes out of Mount Hebron. That was out of Mount Hebron. That glory had gotten up in that mountain and was producing fruit. The giants knew it. Listen, the devil knows. He comes and camps on it. He camps on the educational system. He camps on the political system. And God is unseating his systems right now. Because he's getting ready for his white horse to run in this last hour. And he's going to run, and all the mountains of God are going to get established. It's going to be glorious. We're living in a glorious hour. I mean, Caleb saw that and said, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. And he stood for 45 years. He carried that in the wilderness. He come back into the promised land. And he fought with Joshua for 5 years. And Joshua said, what do you want? He said, give me that mountain. He said, you know the giants are still there. He said, they're bred for me. I'm ready. I'm ready. And he went in there and he drove the sons of Anak. The ones that have choked. Anak means a choke, collar, and chain. He drove them out of that mountain. That'd be Sharon right there. God bless you, Sharon. We love you. Hallelujah. Her Bible's talking. Praise God. So he comes in. He drives them out into Ashdod and Gath, the sons of Anak, and he possesses Hebron. Remember Ashdod? Remember Gath? Remember where Goliath? Where did Goliath come from? Gath. Original descendant of the giants, doing the same thing, intimidating the host of Israel the same way that those giants intimidated the spies. Same spirit, same strong man, same family. Sons of Anak, all of that. Anak if you're in the north, Anak if you're in the south, you know, I get it. It's Anak, sons of Anak. Choke, collar, and chain. They're trying to possess what legally belongs to us. And then God had to raise up another champion, David. Listen, Mount Hebron and its crown will only go to those who walk with another spirit. You cannot inherit this crown in natural means because it's a heavenly crown now. David inherited it. When he inherited that crown, God began to promise him some things. He goes, now I'm going to raise up Christ to sit on your throne. That crown started in Mount Hebron. That's where all the wealth came from. And then God took it into Jerusalem. He goes, now I'm going to, it's the same crown. It's where the birth, the first crowning took place in Mount Hebron. That was the crown of David. The house of David began. It began a succession of kings throughout all of Old Testament history. It all was birthed that day when they had that 3-day ceremony and they brought in and they crowned David in Mount Hebron. They brought him 348,000 men surrounded themselves and said, we're here now. Men that would not break rank. That's God launched that kingdom of David and Solomon. It launched it. Nothing was ever seen like what God did for them. Now imagine what God's going to do in a social media age when things can move at the speed of light. Information can move at the speed of light. You're talking about what took 40 years can happen in 7 years. You can talk about what God's going to do in the accumulation of light and glory and grace and the speed by which we'll run. But once that crown set, David was off and running. I mean, he was off and running. And then he released that to Solomon. And you know the story after that. Now God begins to speak to David and tells him, listen, there's not only is your son going to sit on the throne, but Christ is coming, the Messiah. My son's going to sit on your throne. My son. And God was speaking to him all this time, and they're looking for the Savior of the world to come like another King David. And they were looking in the natural, but God wasn't doing it in the natural. It was all going to be spirit because God was going to create a new breed. And Christ inherited that throne, and Daniel saw him. He said, I saw one like the Son of Man ascend before the Ancient of Days. And there was given him a glory and a kingdom and a nation that all men should serve in. He said, when God the Father, when Christ ascended into the throne of God, God put the crown of David on his son, crowned him in the right hand of God. Somebody say amen. Why did he do that? Because he needed the authority. That crown started with Abraham. Started with those promises. Started with those covenants. And he needed all that authority so he could crown his church in the last days. See, God wasn't just creating this mystical authority in heaven and dropping it. God had to come and get what was his. He had to create his authority. See, everything has to happen in the earth. God gave that dominion to man, and God had to retrieve the dominion. But before he retrieved the dominion, he also created a crown. He wasn't just retrieving dominion. Now I'm going to retrieve a crown. This is my crown. Sons of Anak have been trying to sit on that crown forever, but they can't. It doesn't belong to them. Even this day, the King of Tyre is in operation, trying to rule and reign over the earth's resources. But God is about to release and unlock this crown again. So he opens his crown, he bursts his crown in a succession of kings and kingdoms all through the old. Started with Abraham, inherited by Caleb, inherited by David, and then Christ inherits this throne. He inherits this mountain. In Isaiah 65, he said, I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah. Out of Judah, say out of Judah. An inheritor of my mountains. Mount Hebron is in the land of Judah. It's a kingly mountain. Amen. He said, I'll bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And my elect shall inherit it. The elect will inherit this mountain again in the last days. And my servants will dwell there. Amen. He that has ears to hear. Anybody got ears to hear? I love what Daniel said, and he says when he ascended, he said there was given him, Daniel 7:14, there was given him a dominion and a glory and a kingdom to all people and nation and language that serve him. And this dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. Say, shall not pass away. So God takes this, according to Acts, according to Isaiah, he takes this throne, according to Daniel, and he inherits this mountain and he inherits this crown. In fact, he says in Isaiah 22 that Eliakim would inherit the key to the house of David. I'm going to take it from Shebna, a treasury key. I'm going to take it away from Shebna, and I'm going to give it to Eliakim. I'm going to hang the whole weight of the Father's house on it. It was amen. That was speaking. He said the key to the what? House. Say house. They're saying the word of God is very specific. It says when he ascended in the right hand of God, God reassigned that crown. He took it up into heaven. Why? That's his crown. He had to do it to retrieve the dominion because he's going to give it all back from a heavenly state. Why? Because all of our dominion, all of our restoration was not restored here. It was restored there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Say, blessed us with all, say all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. The crown's there. The mountain's there. The glory's there. The dominion's there. It's all there. It's all in a place. See, that crown could not be stolen. It's in a place where Christ received and took it up in the right hand of God, and the enemy cut his access off. Why? Because God had a plan. Everyone say, God had a plan. He was going to birth his church. He's going to lay the foundation with the early church. But in the last day church, he's going to bring forth the headstone. And when he brings the headstone, he was going to crown his church. What do you think he's going to crown his church with? He didn't just create the crown. He retrieved the crown. He took it up. It's his now. It was always his. It was his the day he swore to Abraham. It was here. It was his the day he buried Abraham in the mountain. It was his the day Caleb inherited. It was his the day David inherited it. All these men of great faith inheriting this crown that transformed nations. If you think what happened in David and Solomon's day was something, wait till you see what's going to happen with the church. All the kings of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. The glory of God and the gold was flowing together, and it filled the earth. All the people of the earth came into the glory of God, foreshadowing what God is about to do with the kings and priests that will reign in the earth again. All that's coming out of that crown. It's not just a wealthy crown, a crown of wealth. It's a crown of glory. Amen? It has multiplication unseen in it. It's a forever. Amen. Now you can go to Revelation chapter 3. Woo! Carlos knows. This is a major, major. How many of you not heard me preach on Revelation chapter 3? Raise your hand. How many of you haven't heard me preach on it 10 times yet? But you're going to understand this a little better. That goes in chapter 3, chapter 5. Kings, they see Christ sitting. He's got a crown, seven horns, seven eyes. All of that came out of David's throne. Christ assigned it and reassigned it to his last heir. Just like he reassigned Adam's dominion, he reassigned this crown. Why? So he could release it again. The early church was not the church that was going to wear the crown. They were birthing the foundation. We're the church that are going to wear the crown. In fact, there's no church in all seven that's even spoken of about a crown except the church of Smyrna. And he said, if you suffer till the end, you'll receive the crown of the overcomer. Speaking of a crown that would be given after their death. But the only church spoken of about a crown was this one. Telling you in the spirit, we are there. We are there. God is getting everything ready. The forerunner, even the prophetic implications of what happened with Cyrus taking Babylon down, releasing the children of Israel out of Babylonian captivity to rebuild the second temple once again. I'll shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and dry lands, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. In this house, I will give gold and glory. I will fill this house with my glory. Treasures of all nations. That never got fulfilled. That was never fulfilled. Say never fulfilled. Most of the prophecies of Haggai and Zechariah were never fulfilled because they were a mirror image of this final church age. They were mirroring who we are. Amen. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 6, he takes Joshua the high priest and he puts him on a king's throne. Incredible. Puts him on a throne, and they bring wealth out of Babylon. That's very prophetic. Anybody who understands anything about what's going on with Babylon and Iraq, they took the wealth and brought it up, and they forged a crown. They forged a crown out of Iraq, out of Babylon, and they put that crown on Joshua's head. Symbolically, what God was going to do, I'm going to crown my priest. He took a high priest and put him on a king's throne, and he crowned him. Symbolically, I will do this with my Christ, and symbolically, I'm doing this for a final church age where the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Isn't that glorious? Woo! Shh. Some good stuff comes out of the church with a taco stand sometime. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody said, listen, when we get our new facility, we got to bring the taco stand with us. I'm just going to put a taco stand inside. I'm going to put a Starbucks and a taco stand on the inside. Praise God. Amen. Oh, everyone, we're going to get to see some serious lights. When you walk outside, our parking lot is lit up now. Praise God. That's awesome. Let's give Chuck and Carlos a big hand for that. And Tommy, big hand. Praise God. You'll see. It'll be bright out there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got on that. Hallelujah. Okay, go to Revelation 3 and let's find out why God did all this. He restored the dominion of Adam. He restored the crown of David. He took all that up into heaven, took it out of the enemy's territory. So God has a crown. He has dominion, authority. He has all of this treasure in heavenly places designed for his church from this last hour. He has all this laid up. He's going to release it all in one final release before the tribulation age. He's going to release this thing in a major way. The headstone's going to be set in. The crowning of the church, the final stone, the crown. All the Zechariah prophecies are going to come in. All the crowning of the priesthood. It is right here in Revelation chapter 3. Glory to God forever. Amen. Get ready. You know, sometime I heard somebody one time, he was a prophet, came in here and goes, sometime if you're too prophetic, you get to the gate too soon. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometime when you see it way time before, but when God shows it to you, you think it's going to happen right then because he showed it to you. And he was showing us this. This is probably our fourth or fifth, maybe sixth pass at this. But 4 or 5 years ago, we thought we were ready. 6 years ago, we thought we were ready. Sometime you're at the gate, and sometimes that's not very fun to ride to a gate and have to wait. What I do now? Wait at the gate. What I do now? Wait at the gate. Every day I say it's going to open. I do believe this is our year. Every year I say it in January. I do believe this is our year. Praise God. Because we're sitting at a gate. Our whole ministry is on the other side of that gate. There's no sense trying to build anything on this side of the gate because everything God's ever told us is on the other side of that gate. Let the wait till that door opens. It's going to be glorious. But I have worn a hole in the seat at this gate. Amen. Like, what are you called to? So I'm like, I'd really like to have lunch. I'd just like to hear about your vision. I'm like, how do we describe who we are? I mean, at lunch, how do I actually describe what we are? People say, oh, you're a church. I'm like, yeah, we're kind of a peculiar church. We kind of are. What do you do? Well, we sit at a gate. And we preach all kinds of awesome stuff. That's all in this gate. It's right on the other side of that gate. The Asaph government. Asaph government. Government of worship. On the other side of that gate. Comes with the crown of David. Hear me, brother? Comes with the crown. You're getting to sit at the gate now with us. How many are having fun sitting at the gate with us? Oh, we get to learn a lot. Praise God. Okay, I got to close. Been sitting too long. But at least we're sitting in a heavenly place. You know, it makes it a lot more glorious than sitting in the earth somewhere and waiting. Hallelujah. Here it's what we're waiting on right here, this final church. Revelation 3, to the angel, verse 7, of the church of Philadelphia write, this angel is not an angel, this is a messenger. The messengers, God-appointed messengers, is given revelation concerning that particular church operation in that church age. He wasn't writing to angels. He was writing to messengers. We're part of that message. We have a message to this church. We have a revelation on this. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Say, key of David. Now, that's only mentioned one other time in Isaiah 22. And he's talking about, he said, He goes, I'm going to take the key. Now, listen, it's very important, of the house of David. And I'm going to take it from Shebna. Listen to this. And I'm going to give it to Eliakim. There is a shifting and a changing of the treasury keys. Those that have controlled the treasuries are about to change. God is about to put the treasuries in the hands of his church, his Eliakims, the key to the house of David. What is the house of David? That is a monarchy. That is a monarchy symbolic of the crown. You cannot have the key to that house without the crown of that house. The key opens the door to that house. What is that house? It's a crown. And it started all the way back in Abraham's day. And we just traced all that history for you. I have a whole series on it called Mount Hebron Inheritance. You want to learn more about that? The key to the house, the house of David. How does he have that key? Because God prophesied he's going to give it to him in Isaiah 22. And he gave it to him in his ascension in the right hand of God. This spake of the resurrection of Christ. That a man would sit on your throne was not speaking of a natural man. David is dead and buried this day. But the prophecies to him were to his son Christ. And he sits on his throne this day. And the increase of this throne, government, and kingdom, there shall be no end. And there is a harvest coming out of this throne like no other time. And God's going to put his wealth in the hands of his people. And suddenly the vision of multi-millions, and I don't know, you say tens and hundreds of millions of people's vision suddenly going to be financed from a global operation with unlimited financing. And those who understand what this money's for, what this wealth transference is about, what this house is about, God's going to unlock the treasury. He's going to unlock the glory. He's going to unlock the worship. He's going to unlock the heavens. And all the treasuries of the right hand of God are coming down into the earth through that crown. Because he inherited, it's all his. He's been waiting for his final church where he crowns his church at this hour. He says, I'm going to open a door that no man and no operation of the earth is going to shut. They won't be able to shut it. Amen. I know thy works, verse 8. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. Thou hast had little strength, but what? You've kept my word. He says that twice to them, by the way. You've not denied my name. You know, I'm going to say this. Look at verse 10. Let me go over here. I'm going to get in here. Look at verse 10. Because you've kept the word of my patience, I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That is specifically speaking of the 7-year tribulation period. We know this church precedes that period. We're right in line. Say, we're right in line. If you're all afraid about what's going to happen in the earth, you're not seeing things through the prophetic eye of Scripture. You're seeing things from a judgment side, not, you need to see it from God's witness side. The church is going to have its final moment before that day and hour. Amen? It's going to be a glorious moment. Notice verse 14, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. What's he telling them? You're the church. I'm coming. I come quickly. You're at the door. Don't forget this. Don't get lost in the sight. Because God's about to unleash the two greatest forces in all of heaven and earth. His power, raw power again, and wealth. He's going to put both of them in the hands of his church. Say power and wealth. He says, I come quickly. Don't lose sight of where you're at, what all this is for. Amen? Hold fast what you have. Let no man, say no man, take thy crown. The crown was given to that church into the earth. That crown came out of the house of David, came out of the one that possesses that crown. Christ is going to share that crown. Not going to be one King David walking around here. There's going to be thousands and thousands of kings. It's going to unleash an operation of kings in this last hour under a social media age where the Spirit of God's going to run with the speed of light. Hallelujah. Where the seven spirits of God are going to get released into the earth. Isn't that glorious? Woo! What's the rider of the white horse? A crown was what? Given. Say given. The Antichrist takes. This crown was given. It's given. That's for another sermon. It was given. You see that crown? Isn't that amazing? Started with Abraham, Caleb, David. The whole succession of kings, Christ inherits in the right hand of God. He birthed his church. And he has his church laying the foundation. But God has something very special for the latter-day church. It's the church that's going to lay the headstone in. Zerubbabel was the king. He had to lay the headstone in with the king. Amen? The final headstone is the crowning of his church. Whew. He's going to release it out of the right hand of God because it's his now. He legally retrieved it from the earth. He can legally bring it back. God does everything in a legal manner. And there's nothing the enemy can do because this crown now has superseded all rule and authority in the earth because it's been set above. It's coming from above now. Isn't that glorious? Whew. In fact, here's those that have ears to hear. Verse 9 is a pretty powerful verse. If you're educated and understand what this verse is talking about. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan that say they're Jews, but are not. This is the last day. He's talking about last day people. They're not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. You know what that means? That is talking about, what's he saying? I'm going to release a crown. Is it heavy in here? It feels good to me. Because I'm going to release a crown out from the right hand. This crown's going to have authority. It's going to unseat some systems in the world. Listen, whether you know it or not, there's a lot of ruling authority from families very high up in the earth that might call themselves Jews, but they serve the synagogue of Satan and they do all his bidding and they're evil to the core. And you know about it, you read about it, they are evil to the core. The things they do, they control the global money supplies. They care nothing about human beings whatsoever. They only care about their agenda. They're going to get their full agenda in the 7 years. But God is going to proceed this. He says, I am going to cause them to bow. I'm going to cause that system to bow down. Listen. Man's not going to cause that system to bow. God's going to cause that system to bow. When this crown comes down, that system, that Babylonian system comes down, it's going to get resurrected again in the 7 years. It's very clear. But for a season, it's going to come down. And the wealth is going to be given to the church. That is a spiritual event. It cannot happen by natural means. It's a spiritual event, and that crown's coming out of the right hand of God, and we are bearing witness of it. Amen? We hold that in our heart. Say, even so, come. Let the crowning of your church, because we see what God's doing. We see what's next. We see what he's doing. We know what he's doing. We know where we are. We're watching at a gate and waiting for him to open this final gate. For this white horse to run one stretch, and boy, will it run. I think we'll all be amazed when the seven spirits of God release into the earth in a brand new, unprecedented fashion. I think we're all going to be amazed at how God's going to put the feet of Elijah upon us and how suddenly our visions and the destiny is going to be financed globally and how fast it's going to run and how the interconnectivity of everything is going to interconnect. In the last hour. Isn't that glorious? Let no man take your crown. That crown is coming down. We are in season right now. Say we're in season. We're in crowning season. Is this our year? I believe it is. I believe we're in season. I tell you that. I think we have Cyrus in office right now. I think the wealth of Babylon's getting ready to release. I believe Zechariah and the prophets are going to release, and Zerubbabel's, the kings are going to come on the scene to build the final temple. They never finished it. We're going to finish it. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Father, we will not let go of these words. We will not let go of this truth. We will not let go of this crown. no matter what its cost. We'll sit at this gate. We know, we understand the fruit that's going to come out from this. We know we're in the season. We know we're in the time. Grant us the grace to prepare our lampstand for this hour, Father. The King is coming. Come on, Carlos. Hallelujah. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.
I was going to say, when he laid the foundation with the first, the 12 disciples, he trained them for 3.5 years. And then even after he trained them, after the resurrection, he presented himself alive. And it says that he opened up the scriptures. And then he launched them out with the message to lay the foundation. Well, they didn't have the New Testament the way we do. And in our generation, because of media, like in God's sovereignty, like God is preparing us with the word of the kingdom. Because there's a lot of spiritual truth in his word. There's principles of truth, but there's also the word of the kingdom. And he's been equipping his church. And in the equipping, it also has the level of keeping his word. So he said, what do we do when we get to the gate? We've been keeping his word. Because it's a whole picture. It's not just one truth or one. It's the whole picture. God's been transmitting the whole picture into our heart. And then we have to keep that word so that when he launches us, we have that word already written in the tablet of our heart.
Praise God. Isn't that good? We sit and we keep his word. Glory to God. What did he say to the church who would walk in the hundredfold? Hear the word of the kingdom, receive the word of the kingdom, understand the word of the kingdom, keep. Not just any word, the word of the kingdom.